the doctor. You may proceed.
May it please the court. Jonathan Leinhard, along with my co-counsel, Mark Heisen, at table, on behalf of appellant James Hodak. Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Supreme Court of Virginia, this case is about whether the simple markings on a subdivision plat constitute, as a matter of law, a dedicated easement. The trial court found that it did, and we are here today to ask you to reverse the trial court's judgment and enter judgment on behalf of Mr. Hodak. During the course of briefing in this case, appellates and appellees have gone back and forth with respect to, one, the proper standard, and two, with respect to what constitutes an easement in a subdivision case. With respect to the standard, we are asserting that as a matter of law, there is no easement on the subdivision plat as found by the trial counsel. We have cited for the court the Beach case, this honorable court's decision in Beach v. Turum. Now, as appellees properly point out, that case involved the issue of an express easement.
In that, counsel, I don't know if the if we had recording devices in the courtroom then that we have now, but we specifically asked the attorney, are you here alleging an express easement or are you farther afield than that? He said, no, I am limiting my argument to an express easement.
Yes.
So you've got to get over that hurdle if that's the case you're going to rely upon.
Well, actually, Your Honor, I'm not simply going to rely on that. Here's our position. Obviously, we've raised two issues. One, as a matter of law, there is no easement. And two, that with respect to the line of cases first raised in our demur, that the court was wrong to discount Beach and rely on the Ryder and Lindsay cases. I'd really like today to focus more on the first, but I think Beach helps us to do that as well. In Beach, the court said, and I think this is very important, that Ryder and Lindsay stand for the proposition that in the context of a subdivision, a property owner abutting a designated street, alley, or right-of-way that was intended for public use, but that was not properly dedicated for such use, may use that way for ingress and egress. While I'm sure that appellees would say, well, that's dicta, because of the reason Your Honor just stated, I believe that it's a guiding principle that actually can be read throughout the line of cases with respect to easements in subdivision contexts by this honorable court. When one goes through the list of subdivision cases that have been raised in the brief in this matter before the court, I believe it's very clear that in each of those cases, Lindsay, Ryder, Fugit, Sipe, they've all been cited in both sides' briefs. What you see is and this is the word that comes to me that I think is very important. What you see is a scheme. A scheme set forth that allows a homeowner or a purchaser to know this right-of-way, this easement, these markings are easements on the subdivision plat, and therefore if you buy as an owner in that subdivision and you purchase one of those lots, you take subject to that. That is not what we have in this case. In this case, when one looks at Joint Appendix page 234, and Trial Exhibits 2 and 3, the subdivision dedication and the subdivision plat do have dash markings, the words right-of-way, it says 30-foot right-of-way. But that is all. There is no scheme that is set forth on the document itself, on the legal instrument upon which the Property Owners Association is relying.
What exactly, in addition to what's on this plat, you would expect there to be in order to be enforceable?
Yeah, I would submit that you would see what you see in some of the other markings, Your Honor, on that same plat. For instance, in the briefing we've gone back and forth on the River Road. Appellees say, well, it's not logical that we agree that River Road is an easement, but this one across Lot 25 is not. I would argue the contrary. Makes all the sense in the world. The River Road demonstrates the indicia, the schema, that you see in the subdivision and other easement sorts of cases that run through Virginia law.
Can I interrupt? Dumb it down a little bit for me. Exactly what on this plat, what drawing, what picture, what hieroglyphics you would expect there to be for that right-of-way to be something other than a right-of-way?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, with respect to the River Road or with respect to the 30-foot right-of-way?
The 30-foot right-of-way.
You would expect to see the sort of description that says what it's for or why it exists.
So it has to say right-of-way, meaning you have a right to walk along that way? What does it need to say, literally?
Well, and I understand there are cases that say a way is just that. It is a street, it is a means. But in those cases, you see what I would expect to see, which is the scheme set forth. Like with River Road, you would see markings, you would see a description explaining what it was for. You would see...
Can I break it down? What additional markings? Let's start there.
For instance, you might see utilities. You might see...
Well, it's not a utility right-of-way. It's a right-of-way just for ways. What else would it be?
Well, I think, though, that begs the question, from where to where? And that's what you don't see in this case, if I may.
What about Exhibit 19, which goes to his question here? You said it would say what the right-of-way is for, but if you look at Plaintiff's Exhibit 19, December 12, 1977, this letter, which says the 30-foot right-of-way to the Shenandoah River, and then reaffirms the right of the Shenandoah River forest owner's usage of the right-of-way.
Your Honor, I would submit that letter is immaterial to the legal question as to whether or not a subdivision plat puts a homeowner on notice that they are taking subject to the right-of-way.
But you just said that those very words on the plat would have legal import, right?
They would. They're not there. And I think that's what's very important. I mean, there's no question. We are not arguing that subdivision plats could never or can never grant, if you will, easements for homeowners who take in a subdivision.
So if it said on this plat, right of way to the river, you would say, okay, that's enough.
I think if it clearly said that, we would have a problem, Your Honor, yes.
Well, there's the river, and there's a right of way, and it ends at the river. Why wouldn't the ordinary person go, well, that's a right of way to the river?
Well, they wouldn't, I would submit, because when you look at that, Your Honor, there's a gap, there's markings, and there's no other description. Whereas there is for the others that are mentioned, they're marked on that plat. For instance, when you look at the right-of-way that's clearly to the river in between lots 10 and 11 on the plat, there is the sort of shading and description that you should see in this particular right-of-way, but you don't.
If it's not a right-of-way to the river, what is it? It's got to be something. It wasn't just doodlings by the surveyor.
Well, Your Honor, I hesitate because I don't want to box myself in, but I would say when you look at Exhibit 2, actually Joint Appendix, I believe 230, the dedication itself, it references utilities, it references easements being reserved by the developers. It very very well may have been for that, and it was never properly put to record or described on the plat.
The utilities at the very edge of the development where it just simply ends at the river?
That's a possibility. The other possibility, and obviously this is a legal matter. They're going through the chain of title. I think it's also possible it could have been for a river, one point for a river crossing that never took place when one looks through the chain of title. But the answer is, honestly, I don't know what it's for. Our argument is that as a legal matter, it doesn't put Mr. Bodak on notice that when he took Lot 25 in the subdivision, that there was a right-of-way across his property. Yeah. If I may, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time.
How could it not put him on notice if it says right-of-way? What do you think? What did it put him on notice of, in your opinion, that it said 30-foot right-of-way on the plat?
I think it would put you on notice possibly well, first of all, as a legal matter, I think it's a nullity. I think it could put you on notice to investigate the land records. And if you investigate the land records and you look at the chain of title that's in the joint appendix, there's nothing in there that refers to a right-of-way ever at that point.
You have 5 minutes and 9 seconds.
Thank you.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'm Robert Janey. I represent 10 individual appellees in this case, plus the Property Owners Association. My clients own a total of 19 lots in this 47-lot subdivision. This is a subdivision that was created in 1969, and there's no issue about the right to access the river by a 30-foot-wide right-of-way until about 2013. I want to address the issues raised about the plat, but I think the most instructive thing I can point the court to in this case is Lindsay versus James. If you look at that case, frankly, I was at a loss for a while because the online versions of that case do not show the plat of that subdivision. However, the printed, the old printed volume of that case at page 650 shows what is labeled on that plat as a 20-foot way. That's all the labeling that is on that plat in the original Lindsay versus James case. The court back in 1949 said that that was sufficient, just simply the label 20-foot way. Didn't even say right away, but that was sufficient to establish that Ms. James had a right-of-way to traverse that 20-foot way all the way through, and that arose out of the line of cases that began with Fugate versus Carter in 1928, where Justice Holt told us that if there is a platted subdivision with lots laid out and showing streets, alleys, and ways, that there were right-of-ways that arose out of that by estoppel principles, not by covenants and not by express language, but by the very plat that was used. The reliance on Beach versus Turum, as counsel has admitted, is really not applicable in this case. Twice in the opinion in that case, it was pointed out that this was an express easement case. There was a subdivision, but for some reason, trial counsel did not rely on the platted easement or the platted area as being in the creation of an easement. He argued that there was only an express easement, and the court told us that long line of cases that you could only create an express easement by words of conveyance that had, I take it, both a grantor and a grantee and a description. That is counter to the line of cases that Lindsay versus James tells us about, where lands are laid off into lots, streets, and alleys. All of those people who take title by reference to that plat acquire the rights to use those streets and alleys that are beneficial to their properties. We showed substantial evidence at the trial in this case that there were all of the lots benefited by this right of access to the river, because 24 out of the 47 lots had no direct access to the river. The plat of the subdivision shows two 30-foot right-of-ways, one between 10 and 11 and one on 25, and they're both labeled 30-foot right-of-way. The only natural assumption that you can have is that they are access points to get to the river. Justice White in Ryder versus Petraea told us and tied things together that a street and an alley is a way. He relied on Black's Law Dictionary and long line of cases to tell us that a way is a right of passage over property. So if you look at the Lindsay and James cases and the Fulgate case, we have words of art, I submit, that were used on that plat. They created a right-of-way to go from River Road, which, by the way, is not even labeled a right-of-way. But if you look at the plat, it's the only means of access to the lots in the subdivision. to get from basically there are two wide, two lots wide subdivision, riverfront lots and lots that front on River Road, and then two points of access. It was, as was pointed out, the letter from the developer said to confirm one of the lot owner's inquiries that yes, that 30-foot wide right-of-way to which he attached a blow-up of the plat was the access to the river.
But the letter, of course, was after the fact.
Yes, sir.
But conceptually, how could that affect the nature of the easement?
It is circumstantial evidence that it's explanatory of the intent of the developer when the developer created the plat showing the 30-foot wide right-of-way. And as His Honor has pointed out, the words right-of-way have to mean something.
I'm just wondering conceptually how it could be logically relevant that the developer would characterize it this way. I mean, I'm not even sure that'd be admissible.
It was admissible in evidence as an ancient record and as an ordinary business record. There was no appeal.
Can I ask you one last caveat question? What do we do about the fact that the dash line just abruptly ends and doesn't come to closure on River Road? If you look at the L, the bottom right portion of the L, that just is peculiar to me. What do we do with that?
Your Honor, at the end of River Road, which is the south end, the right-of-way is 30 feet wide going, late 30 feet wide going down to the river. The right-of-way across Bodak's lot at that point is actually 25 feet of the road because it's a 50-foot wide road and it curves out, and that expanded the right-of-way to make it a total of 30 feet with that L shape to have the ability to swing in there, is my take on it, Your Honor. And that was some of the evidence at the trial court that people had used that 30-foot right-of-way not only for foot traffic but to take trailers and launch boats down on the river. The plat of the subdivision as a whole is consistent because between 10 and 11, those lots, there is both a reserved area for the landowners, which is the crosshatched area. It's mentioned in the declaration. It's set up on the plat as being reserved as a common area. But specifically on that particular lot there between 10 and 11, it shows also a 30-foot wide right-of-way going down through the old ford on the river. So the court has to, there's an ancient line of cases that said the court should give credence to each and every word in a deed. I think the same applies, and I submit it applies to a plat, that you have to give meaning to those words. And I go to Burdett versus Brush Mountain to look at Justice Kintzer's remark that that case reaffirmed the Holdens and James and Ryder, that we were not changing the law with that case, that that was also an express easement case. So, Your Honors, I submit that if you give credence to the plat, you have to give credence to the right-of-way, that it has to provide for something. And in the words of Justice White, it is a way, it is a passage over others. It goes from River Road to a navigable stream, the Shenandoah River. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Rebuttal?
Thank you very much. If I may, I think appellee counsel said something very important there, where I heard him at least to say he would agree that, referring to the Burdett case, agree that there has to be words on the plat that show this right-of-way, and he submits there are. We, of course, are arguing that there are not. And I think it's important that when you look at it, there is neither language that gives any grant at that point over lot 25, nor is there the type of scheme that this court through the decades has seen in cases like Lindsay, Ryder, Sipe, Fugate versus Carter. When appellees mentioned, for instance, the Lindsay case, which came out of a scheme that was being set, subdivision scheme being set up down in Virginia Beach. There was no question that one looks at that plat and that scheme, it's obvious that there are streets being laid out, that there are lots being laid out within these blocks, and that when you purchase, that's what you get. That is not the case, I would submit, here with respect to this plat. It is qualitatively very different, and I think because of that difference in quality, that lack of words of conveyance or that lack of scheme, it does not create any sort of right-of-way such that Mr. Bodak or any other owner of Lot 25 would take Lot 25, knowing and understanding that there is an easement across his property. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Call the next case.